You are looking live at Berea. The Browns set for day six of their training camp. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, happy to be with you here on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for our second of three live look-ins at training camp practice here with the Browns as they get ready for the 2015 season. You can see the dog pound out there again. My man, national champion, Super Bowl champion, all-around tremendous gentleman, Matt Wilhelm, with me here today. Matt, as we get into kind of, we're starting to get into it a little bit. You've had the first 4 days of break. You come back yesterday. Day six now with the scrimmage coming up on day eight. What are you hoping to see out here today?
I'm hoping to see the prep for that scrimmage. You know, I believe there's players on this roster that want to showcase their ability outside of this practice field. This is where the grind is. But we get an opportunity to play now in front of potentially 70,000 people down there in Ohio Stadium. It's going to feel different. It's going to look different. And I think that these coaches are going to evaluate it a little bit differently than the way they do these multiple practices we've had here in Berea. That will, of course, be the culmination before the first preseason game. You head to Rochester, which I think a little bit more emphasis on someone else in a different color. It's going to be huge. And I think that these guys, there should be a buildup for these guys on this football roster to make that trip down to Columbus, to have it feel different, that the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator are going to want to see certain things out of these young men on the practice field and actually have it feel as if it's a game setting for them.
Now, we're going to give you a live look at practice here today for about the next 45 minutes. Doug Deacon will be with us at around 10:30 as well. As you look at the quarterbacks, Johnny Manziel, Josh McCown going through their paces. I thought, again, yesterday, Josh McCown looked sharp, especially in the red zone. We got an opportunity to see how this scheme can really confuse the defense and get some guys wide open.
Absolutely. It's those shifts in motions and John DeFilippo's strategic approach in regards to where he puts certain players, who's in what formations, all those great things I love to see. Because as I always talk about as a defender, when you break the huddle, you understand down in distance, you understand the personnel on the field, but then what playmakers are where on the football field and why? What is the offense trying to accomplish? And so it really gets that ball rolling in a defender's head, making you have to focus on every single down and distance being different, them shifting and motioning. I think, you know, the lack of Duke Johnson, you know, hurts this football team right now because moving him around and building that flexible position on and him be able to, you know, motion out of the backfield, still be a threat in the backfield is something that I looked for him to be a key factor for this football season. And not having him hurts, and I thought we heard that yesterday in Mike Pettine's voice.
Yeah, Mike Pettine was frustrated, and as you look at the quarterbacks going through their paces, we'll update you on some of the guys who are not practicing today. And for the Browns, really, the biggest questions for this team, I think right now we're at the skill positions, and those are the positions right now being hit hardest with injury. You mentioned Duke Johnson. He is not practicing today, and Mike Pettine saying, listen, that's frustrating. He was going to be a big part of what we're going to do. We got to get him out there as soon as possible. He's going to be well behind. Terrence West remains out as well, as does Glenn Winston. So three running backs out in addition to kind of fullback, H-back, Malcolm Johnson, and Luke Lundy. So that's why the team signed two running backs yesterday, Parmalee and Flanders. They will be in there, but it's really going to be a lot of Isaiah Crowell and a lot of Sean Drone, who was our guest yesterday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by the good folks at Liberty Ford.
Absolutely, and that's for sure. The guys that we signed to this roster are bodies. You hate to say that, and I know that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine's intentions are not essentially to sign someone to this roster that doesn't have an opportunity to make that 53. But we know with the two guys that are down, Terrence West and Duke Johnson, that if they do what they're supposed to do and be healthy and be the playmakers for this football team that they should be, they're going to make this team. So the guys signed are truly just camp bodies. And because you and I all constantly talk about and your love affair with, you know, Isaiah Crowell and the Crow and what he should be capable of doing this year, you can't have him practice and take those reps. You look around the practice field, you see Dwayne Bowe get a day, Tremont Williams get a day, and I understand that he's an undrafted free agent in his second year, but he's a guy that if he's supposed to tote the ball 250 times, you can't, you know, give him a significant amount of reps all camp long either.
You don't want to wear him out early, but that's one of the things that they want to see from Isaiah Crowell. And talking to running backs coach Wilbert Montgomery, he wants to see Crowell prove that he can be the guy, that he can carry that load, that they can put the saddle on him, they can ride him to glory. Because when you look at this team, it's predicated on their ability to stop the run and to run the football on offense, and they're not going to be able to do that unless they've got Isaiah Crowell, unless they've got Terrence West healthy, Duke Johnson healthy, because just because you have a great line, it's not a foregone conclusion that you can run the ball in the NFL. You need your talented backs out there. But Crow right now with a great opportunity to get that job and really seize that primary rushing role.
He definitely does. And I think not only does Mike Pettine frustrated that he doesn't have either Terrence West or Duke Johnson as he mentioned, to have a huge part of this offense not on the field to grow and develop for week one. But it coincides with Mike Pettine wanting to step back and say, okay, we're able to get that push, that surge on the offensive line. We've got the backs that see the holes, that are feeling those cuts and so on and so forth. But as you talk about the ability to run the football and the culture that we're creating around here, look at our division. It all starts and ends in our division. You've got Pittsburgh with a young, dynamic defense. They're going to be in a growth period, but up front they're going to be very talented, just very young. You look at the Baltimore Ravens, a lot of the reason why they're top 10 in everybody's kind of like preseason power rankings is predicated on A, they have Joe Flacco, but B, a great defense. And then the Cincinnati Bengals and the diversity that we talked about yesterday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford with Albert Breer. They're great. They're just a team of balance. They're just good enough on offense, and they're just good enough on defense to make that play and playoff push each and every year. So we have to be prepared to run the football and dominate the time of possession versus our division opponents.
As you look at the running back group right there, you see Isaiah Crowell going through some of the blocking drills, and he's been a beast so far in pass protection. I know the coaches are very pleased with the physicality he's shown both as a runner and as a pass protector. He's really got a shot to go ahead and take charge. Speaking of other guys not on the field today, as we go to the other skill position group on offense, the wide receivers, Dwayne Bowe, not working today. He's off on the side, as is Terrell Pryor, who we saw with that wrap on his hamstring yesterday. This is a wide receiver competition, though, that I believe is becoming one of the most fierce and intense on the team. You've got the veterans up top, Bowe, Hartline, Hawkins. You've got Taylor Gabriel really emerging in his second season, and you draft Vince Maley out of Washington State in the fourth round, who has shown flashes already of what he can do as a physical guy with better speed than you might think. It's that sixth receiver spot that really seems to be up for grabs. Marlon Moore, the special teams ace. Terrell Pryor, the former Ohio State Buckeye that people are very excited about, threw a pass yesterday for a touchdown, even though it wasn't pretty, but it brings that element, a freak athlete. We know about his size. And then there's Travis Benjamin, former fourth-round pick of this team out of the U, a speed burner, second year back from that ACL, looks fast again, had a great day of practice yesterday.
Absolutely, and again, if I'm Travis Benjamin, if I'm Rodney Smith, if I'm Marlon Moore, the competitor in me has me saying, I'm going to get those reps today with Pryor out, with Bowe out. I'm going to, you know, if I'm a third stringer, I'm going to get reps with the second stringer. If I'm a second stringer, I'm going to get reps with the ones. And this is my opportunity to show out. And we talked about that with Sean Drone in the running back room, just simply with Duke Johnson and Terrence West being out, seizing those opportunities, you know, taking advantage of him being a vet, taking advantage of the fact that he's going to get those first and second team reps, and what he shows on this practice field will be a lot in regards to him making the team or not. So if I'm Travis Benjamin, I'm going, you know what, to the wall and trying to make every play, run every route, be crisp, no drops, and show these coaches that I deserve to maintain my roster spot here in Cleveland.
Yeah, a couple touchdowns yesterday in traffic, did drop one in traffic, but looked so quick on that slant that you certainly caught notice. He also said yesterday, on a scale of 1 to 10, how bad does he want to be the punt returner for this team? An 11 also happens to be the number he's wearing out there on the field.
Only thing better would have been if he said it had been a 12.
Or a billion.
Or a billion, yes, exactly.
Infinity.
And He is getting reps at punt returner. I think Tremont Williams and Taylor Gabriel are two other guys that are constantly getting reps with the punt returner. But I think as you and I consistently mentioned, the sixth wide receiver for most NFL teams, you're talking, you know, 10 to 15 receptions. They're not a big part of the offense, but they're called upon, you know, at certain points when you dig deep and there's injuries that, you know, hobble guys throughout a season. But for him, the impact he is going to make is as a punt returner. That is in question because of some of the, you know, the fumbling problems and the fumbling issues and his, you know, ball skills back there as a punt returner. But when it was good, it's good. But when it's bad, it's bad. And we got to find that happy medium for him, because that is the way he legitimizes his opportunity.
Absolutely. And as you see right there on the lower third, you can tweet us using the hashtag BrownsCamp, and we will answer your questions live here on this live looking from Browns training camp on the Browns mobile app and ClevelandBrowns.com. Nathan Zgur and Matt Wilhelm again here with you in Berea as the Browns getting ready for their sixth training camp practice of the 2015 season. Now, our first question comes to us from Mike McAllister, and he says, how do you see the offensive line shaking out? They've talked about the best five, and where do you see the biggest upgrade so far on this football team?
I think the biggest upgrade for me, to go answer your second question first, is at nose tackle with Danny Shelton.
Oh, yeah.
The impact that he's made thus far through 6 days of practice, or five and a quarter of practice, is very evident. And if you just watch that position and the impact he makes, And for me, it's the attention he gets. When he's in the game, he's getting Alex Mack and Joel Bitonio. He's getting Alex Mack and John Greco, or Alex Mack and Cam Irving. So he's getting that attention. And that's where I think the biggest transition has come for this team, which is why we sought him out at 12th overall in the 2015 draft. But when I look at the offensive line, and what was really intriguing to me is I didn't get to hear it personally, but reading Andy Moeller's statement when he had an opportunity to spend time with the media, and him talk about Cam Irving evolving. But Andy Moeller made it very true that just like Ray Farmer is going to pick the best 53 football players, the best five will play along the offensive line. So to me, it's not they're not pushing Cam Irving to start. I consistently talk about the fact that you drafted him for depth. You drafted him. You want your 19th overall pick to start. But if John Greco has stepped up and is playing it, you know, out of his mind at another level, he deserves to play. Then we know we have the 19th overall pick as a backup who's playing right guard, can play right tackle, can play center, can play left tackle because of how diverse he is. But he's got some growing to do, which you could hear in Andy Moeller's comments. But right now it seems as if John Greco has secured that spot as of today.
As of today, I would agree with you. And I wonder if it hurts Cam Irving that he's getting reps at right guard and left tackle.
Of course it does.
You don't want him to become a jack of all trades, master of none. You want him to be a master of something where he can start for your team. But hey, if John Greco's the best five for this team, then that's the way that the Browns obviously should go on the line. It was obviously a very effective group last season before Alex Mack got hurt. Some other guys to keep your eye on here as you go through training camp on the offensive line. Michael Bowie has been singled out by his coaches for his play. He's trimmed down a little bit. His movement is better. The guy is strong as an ox. Number 61, as you see him there, a power right tackle and somebody who some think could push Mitchell Schwartz down the line. I think that's still a ways off. Two other names to keep on your radar. Andrew McDonald, number 79, has been working at left tackle behind Joe Thomas. And then also, Kareem Barton, the guard, somebody that has been singled out by people in this organization to me as someone who has made a major leap. He's still practice squad eligible, and that's likely where he would land, but he's another name that the coaches have taken notice of.
Absolutely. And when I look at Michael Bowie, and again, reading those comments made by the coaches, he came in a little heavy. He came in a little bit out of shape, was still recovering from that injury. But when they asked him to come back and, you know, and meet a certain number of requirements to be ready to compete and play along this offensive line and make this football team, Andy Moeller raved about what he did in his time away. He was in shape. His weight was down. He's been a physical, bruising type of tackle, which he had to play that role in Seattle, and we hope to play the very same role here in Cleveland.
We certainly do. Again, you can tweet your questions to us using the hashtag BrownsCamp as you take a look at the Browns' offensive line, getting ready to go through some running drills there. Number 71, Danny Shelton. I'll tell you what, if somebody was to ask me right now what I am the most excited about through 5 days of training camps we had in the sixth day, it's Danny Shelton, because when you draft somebody number 12 overall, you want to see an immediate impact from him. And I can't help but take my eyes off this guy, even when I'm trying not to watch. I'm trying to look away. He runs down every play 20, 30 yards down the field. He has hit people literally where they've run into him and fallen down like a cartoon running into a brick wall. He's thrown offensive linemen around. He just has a motor. He looks hungry, and you can tell that he loves to play the game.
He absolutely loves to play the game, and he loves being a Cleveland Brown. And that's, again, what Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine really had to dig deep into to select Danny Shelton, not only as the best nose tackle in the draft and meet that need to stop the run, but a guy who loves the game of football, as you just mentioned, but now loves being a Cleveland Brown and is going to meet that demand that we have for him in the middle of this defense. And what I love for him is we just watched that last rep against Alex Mack is he's going to play against a Pro Bowl center each and every day at practice. And if you notice that last rep that we just saw, Danny Shelton's not getting hooked. For a guy who's 340 pounds, potentially playing against a 295, 300-pound, very athletic center in Alex Mack, they have that quick first step and usually get and hook a big guy like Danny Shelton, Casey Hampton, Vince Wilfork, okay, which compromises the defense and puts two guys in one gap, which creates an extra gap for the runner to find, which is where those big gashing runs come from. So for Danny Shelton not to get hooked, continue to fight, to stay on that front side means he's fighting not only for his position, but he's fighting to maintain the integrity of the defense so that linebacker can have his gap, integrity intact as well and be able to make the play if called upon.
And when we've seen him take on two blockers and push them back, talk about from your perspective as a former inside linebacker, what does that do for you in allowing you to go up and make your run fits, fill the holes, and really go unblocked?
It takes a lot of the questions, you know, any questions that you have in the defenses, and you build trust. I know Danny's going to take two. I know Danny's always going to be in his gap. That allows me to play fast. It allows me to play downhill. as a playmaker. And so, and I know in years past, and I'm not talking anything negative, but I know DeQuell Jackson, you know, former Cleveland Brown inside linebacker, made a lot of tackles down the field.
Right.
It was because the defensive line was catching. We're going to get a guy that's going to get penetration, that's going to be in his gap, allow Carlos Dansby, Craig Robertson, Christian Kirksey to play downhill and make plays for a two-yard loss. What is a two-yard, you know, put him in second and eight. You know, an incompletion puts him at third and eight. That is the ideal situation for Jim O'Neill and this defense to attack with the best defensive backfield in all of football.
That's right. They want to stop the run to earn the right to rush the quarterback. We've been hearing that mantra, and I can tell you what, they will stop the run, and Danny Shelton is going to be a big, big part of that, as is Xavier Cooper, another rookie they drafted in the third round, traded up to get him. I heard the Atlanta War Room was very unhappy when the Browns jumped in front of them to select Xavier Cooper, who's already made an impact yesterday on the play for the camouflage jerseys. It was fourth and goal from about the four. They were down five, said Mike Penton to the offense. One play, score or go home. The camouflage jersey's on the line. Xavier Cooper was out there next to Danny Shelton and Dylan Wynn, an undrafted free agent.
Three rookies.
Shelton collapses the pocket, tips the ball, picked by Tremont Williams. It's all she wrote. That's why you see the defense in the camouflage jerseys behind us. But real quickly, before we get to our next Twitter question, we appreciate you keeping those coming in using the hashtag BrownsCamp. Xavier Cooper yesterday had a play. They were doing a run drill. He grabs Jalen Parmalee, who had just been signed by the team, and literally threw him to the ground like a child. And Alex Mack went crazy and came after Xavier Cooper, hit him. They mouthed. They got separated. But the intensity and the fire in this rookie's belly, I love to see that.
Absolutely. And that's camp. You know, and I know Alex Mack has nothing against Xavier Cooper, and Xavier Cooper has nothing against, you know, Parmalee for a reason to throw him to the ground. You never know. The play before, Xavier might have got hooked. He's a little frustrated and wants to take out his aggression on somebody. It just happens to be Parmalee, the new running back to the Cleveland Browns. And so, but yes, absolutely intense. You know, the fact that when called upon, Jim O'Neill and Anthony Weaver had the onus to put those three rookies out there when everything was on the line. And this was not because Phil Taylor wasn't practicing. He was in pads. John Hughes was in pads. Starks was in pads. Everybody was out there. He wanted to see these guys in a limelight type of situation for them to perform their best and their responsibility, and to go back to that play. And he got good penetration, but what I love about it is the football awareness.
Yep.
He realized it was a quick three step, you know, or quick five step drop. You know, the ball was being delivered, and he stopped that penetration, because a lot of guys can be a bull in a china shop and put their head down and want to penetrate and push back. But he had the football awareness to have his eyes up, his head up, and get that hand in the air and put it in the passing lane, which, you know, J.J. Watt, best in the business at that with pass breaks up. Got a great pass breakup and is the reason why they're wearing the camo unis today.
I love it. You see the team huddled up, head coach Mike Pettine letting them know what's going to be going on here in the practice today as they get ready to get into some team drills. Listen, he always likes to say competitive, not combative, and that's what the Browns are going to be out there today. You see Joe Thomas will be back at work today. The defense going off in their camouflage direction. The offense getting ready, wearing the whites, dude. And I think I realized what we just saw right there, Matt Willem.
What did we see?
Goal line.
Love it.
That was the jumbo package. They're on the goal line, so prep going through the paces right now. Listen, this is a team that wants to stop the run and be able to run the football. You've got to do that up front and control that. And as this practice goes on, yesterday we saw the evolution. A little red zone work. Today I think we're going to see some of that goal line running, maybe even some live tackling, which is certainly would be exciting to see, because there's only you can't fake it at the goal
line. No, you cannot.
You have to make it. Or you go home.
It is. It's all about penetration. It's all about, you know, the one-on-one matchups. And that's what I love about goal line.
As the crow gets in there, hose down.
In most cases, everywhere that I've been, you'll do two plays that are like thud, that, you know, maintaining where you guys, you stay up, you don't take a guy to the ground. But then when Coach Pettine sees what he wants to see out of this football team down in the goal line, either offensively or defensively, or in some cases if it's a stalemate, the way you break that tie is you liven it up. And all that intensity that we're going to get, you know, at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, all the intensity we're going to get against the Buffalo Bills in Rochester will come to fruition right here on the practice field.
I love it. And, you know, Isaiah Crowell's got a nose for the end zone. 8 touchdowns a year ago in this offense, when you think about that, pretty significant. I've got a feeling that the camouflage jersey competition today is going to come down to one live play from the 1 or 2 yard line. Get in or go home.
I agree, and we were awfully close yesterday at the 5 yard line, and the offense chose pass and had an open receiver, but Danny Shelton, of course, batted it down, as we mentioned already. But yes, I'd love to see Fourth and goal on the one in a very similar situation where they must score to win the football game.
Oh, I want to see that very, very badly. All right, our next Twitter question comes to us from Philip Mullins, who asks, which veteran on either side of the ball, but we'll do one on both side, each side of the ball, has really taken on the leadership role for this team, saying that he thinks that is the key to winning football in the NFL?
Oh, offensively, it's by far and away Josh McCown. We've talked about that time and time again. Not only is he a vet, not only is he savvy, not only is he a leader of the huddle offensively, but he's the greatest cheerleader for all his teammates. After every reception, after a little miscommunication, he seeks them out to go talk, to have that little conversation or give them the congratulation of great route, great catch, whatever it might be. So he is by far and away leading that offensive huddle. When I go to the defensive side of the ball, Dansby's been up, Dansby's been down, but I look to the defensive backs. I think Joe Hayden has significantly grown, and I look Tremon Williams. How many times have we heard players or coaches talk about Tremon Williams being the vet, being the pro, being the leader? And for that reason, which is why the Cleveland Browns sought him out to bring him here, not only for his play, but for the fact that he's a pro and he is very savvy and he's a leader in the locker room as well.
I think that defensive backfield's chock full of leaders. You mentioned Joe Hayden, you mentioned Tremon Williams, your expected starting corners, but also I think Dante Whitner, one of the leaders of this team on defense as well, very vocal. He likes what he has seen from this team so far. He's been impressed with Josh McCown, impressed with the guys that he's been playing with, as you see Witt there trying to fill on the right side of the defensive line. Another guy we need to talk about in the defensive backfield that's being singled out by everybody. I bet you can guess where I'm going.
Go.
My guy, Pierre Desir, number 26. The last 2 days, one day Joe Hayden took a day off, the other day Tremon Williams, he worked with the first team, and I thought really, really held himself very well, had a nice accounting of himself, and you can tell the confidence is in him from the other players based on what they're saying about Pierre Desir, his work ethic, his attention to detail. Every day he comes in and brings the same determination to get better as a football player.
And you know what I've noticed as we stood out there and watched a little bit of practice, especially in that team setting, is Pierre Desir kind of out there. There's no coaching coming from the sideline, meaning, Joe Hayden or Tremon Williams kind of like saying, oh, bump in a little bit, move back, use your offhand jam, whatever it is. But I've heard that same about Justin Gilbert. Justin Gilbert was aligned a little too far inside and a little too deep. And Dante Whitner, I heard screaming, move up a little bit. Now move your outside leverage, and they're kind of coaching him along the way. And I think it just goes to show, which is what the coaches are seeing and why Pierre Desir is out there when either Joe Hayden or Tremon Williams is getting a rest.
And it also says, listen, point blank, they told you from day one here in this organization, they're going to put the best players on the field, regardless of money, regardless of draft status, etc. And you're seeing that Pierre Desir was drafted in the fourth round in the same draft that Justin Gilbert was drafted, eighth overall, and yet he's ahead of him because of what he's done in the field, in the meeting room, and in the offseason.
And as I continually talk about the competitor in me, the competitor in Justin Gilbert should not lay down and get comfortable. The competitor in Justin Gilbert should come out, which is what makes him an elite athlete, and say, to me personally, that'd be an embarrassment. If I knew I was drafted first overall, yes, I've got the $12.8 million guaranteed, and Pierre Desir, got a $400,000 bonus being drafted in the fourth round. That would eat me up every day. Not just to – of course I'd want to be a starter, but it would eat me up that someone from my same draft class that got picked 100 picks after I did is starting in my spot potentially.
That's what it is. As you see number 26 there, Pierre Desir, he's had a great camp and one of the standouts according to everybody in this organization. But, listen, if you're Justin Gilbert, you can't lie down. Because right now, even if with Pierre Desir playing as well as he is, it's going to be tough for him to get snaps in games. You've got Hayden, Tremon Williams, Kaywan Williams. Now, could he play so well that they decide to try to kick Tremon into the slot or they kick Hayden in the slot in certain formations? Yes. But if you're Justin Gilbert, and you're not amongst the top four cornerbacks going into the season, you're not playing.
You're not. And that's got to be very frustrating for him, which in some cases you hope he doesn't lay down and just take that money and just play out his role, which I don't believe that to be true because of the growth and his teammates talking about what he's done this offseason to come in and be a pro. And that's it's a maturity factor, and that's something that I consistently talk about is being a pro, and doing whatever you have to do to make this roster and fulfill your dream of playing in the National Football League.
Another little Zagura sleeper was right there on the camera, number 40. They call him Pop. Pop Saunders, Deontay Saunders, playing at safety, was a corner at the University of Florida before he had to take a circuitous route to the National Football League, an undrafted free agent and a guy who has a lot of talent and who's opened a lot of eyes here. So keep an eye on number 40, especially if you're heading down to the Shoe on Friday for the Orange and Brown scrimmage in Columbus. Nathan Zgura and Matt Wilhelm. Soon we'll be joined by the Deke from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, your Browns radio analyst. He's going to join us. Matt is going to step out. Matt, it's always a pleasure to be with you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Always great, man. See you in 2 hours on the radio.
That's right. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We bring in the analyst for your Cleveland Browns from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, the one and only, the legendary, Mr. Doug Deacon, joining us here on set for your live look-in at Browns training camp. Deke, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Okay, I didn't get the wardrobe memo, but I appreciate any orange shirt you got for me.
That's right. We can make that happen in the back. We got to get the Deke a nice Browns polo shirt for his next appearance here on a live look-in. Deke, here we are, day six of training camp. What stood out to you so far in the early going?
Well, I think, you know, the offense obviously is installing a new offense, and to some degree they're a bit behind the defense. Just watching the goal line scrimmage down there, though, the offensive line handled the defensive line, the number one's pretty good. They scored in all their attempts. But I think the thing is, you know, the quarterback position. McCown has shown a lot of leadership. You know, you watch him do drills, and it's one thing to, you know, tell the young guys what to do, but he's the guy that's running up and putting his hands in their face like he's rushing the passer, trying to make everybody better. And I think that's, you know, very important because you need a leader on that offensive side and somebody that they can count on, and I think he's stepped up to the role.
I would agree with you on that. Let's go to this offensive line. You get Alex Mack back. You draft Cam Irving. How would you assess the Irving-Greco battle early on at right guard?
Well, I think, you know, like all young players, there's a lot to learn. You know, the techniques are different. The strength of the players are different. And you've got to get a feel for it. You know, the veterans like Joe Thomas and Mack and Greco, they can come to training camp and they have a feel for what they're doing. And you have confidence in what you're doing. I think as a young player, you know, you have to have success, and with that success comes the confidence. And I think, you know, I think Irving right now is adjusting to the strength and the speed of the game.
How hard will it be for Cam Irving to kind of win, let's say, the right guard battle when he's getting reps at right guard and left tackle? Is that almost too much for a rookie to kind of process when you're trying to compete for a job?
Well, yeah, it's a lot to process, but, you know, the techniques are a little bit different, and some of the people, the styles of play, you know, a defensive tackle isn't going to get you out on an island, where if you're out at left tackle, you know, that's the thing you fear. But I think, you know, you're in training camp. This is where you learn the offense. This is where you learn to go against these guys. And I think with that said, you know, the progress is what you expected, and, you know, as Coach Pettine said the other day, he's probably a little bit ahead of where we thought.
So we talked about the offensive line. They get to go against what I think is a much improved defensive line on a daily basis with the new additions of Danny Shelton, Xavier Cooper, Randy Starks. What have you seen so far from that defensive line up front? Can they stop the run this year?
Well, that's yet to be determined because, you know, we haven't seen a lot of tackling and we haven't seen a lot of live. But I think, you know, what you've gotten is you've got some young players with fresh legs that are going to help you out, but you also got some experience. And Starks, you know, you bring in the veterans, and it's another year in this defense. And that's a big key where, you know, I think last year a lot of times people were maybe a little bit out of place and might have freelanced or chased plays down and, you know, opened up the backside. And the discipline part of it, I think, is something that, you know, they've learned through, unfortunately, their errors.
Danny Shelton has been I wanted to see him be good, and he's been, I think, very good in the early going. You just see the physicality running down plays, 20 yards down the field. A guy with a high motor who seems to really love playing the game. What stood out to you about Danny Shelton?
Well, I think that, you know, he replaces a guy that had a high motor, Ruben. Ruben was a guy that, you know, I think was infectious with the defense because of the way he played. And Shelton has not missed a beat. For a young player to step in, the guys on that defense are going to say, you know, show me. And so far he has shown them that he's got those abilities.
Who's been the biggest surprise or biggest standout in your mind, somebody who's really caught your eye?
Well, I think like everybody else, you're watching Terrell Pryor. And, you know, you look at it, he's got the athletic ability. You talk to him, he's got, I think, he's a lot more mature than when he was in college.
Sure.
And, you know, he has claimed that he's got the work ethic. And if you got the talent and you got the work ethic, and if you can get the experience somewhere during the preseason, you could be a pretty darn good wide receiver. And if, you know, if he came out in the draft today and had he been a wide receiver in college, he would have been drafted a lot higher than he was in the supplemental draft.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. What would you put his odds right now as you see it on making this team?
I think they're pretty good. They're over 50%.
over 50% for Terrell Pryor. This team needs to run the football. We know that to be successful. We've seen the injuries to Duke Johnson and Terrence West, and Mike Penn sounded pretty frustrated by that so far. It's given Isaiah Crowell a lot of opportunity. He led this team in touchdowns last year. Do you think he can make a nice leap here in his second season?
Oh, I think he can. I think he's a very talented back, and we talked about people being drafted. Here's a guy that was undrafted. It would have been drafted a lot higher, seeing what the skill set is.
Sure.
But by the same token, you know, Drones has gotten a lot of opportunity. This guy's got more carries in training camp than most running backs have in a year.
Yes, he certainly has been getting a lot of work with that running back group. And again, if you're just joining us on the live looking from Berea, Duke Johnson, Terrence West remain out today. And you also will be without Glenn Winston, Luke Lendy, and Malcolm Johnson from that running back room. And Duke Johnson's a guy that I liked a lot in the early going, brings a different skill set than any of these other running backs. As you see him there out of the U, the leading rusher in the history of the U, which is pretty impressive. But I really liked him. I hope we can get him back out there soon because he brings that explosive element.
Well, that, and you don't want him to get too far behind in the playbook. And,
yep.
You know, the only way you can execute the playbook is out there on the field. You can know where you're supposed to go, but you have to have a feel for your offensive lineman. I think the other thing is, you know, we talk about Glenn Winston. You know, you would like to see what he's, you know, we've heard about him. Now you'd like to see what he can really do, but unfortunately he came to training camp a little dinged up.
Deke, you look at this training camp here with the new CBA, and I imagine that it seems like vacation compared to the training camps that you used to go through. What are the biggest differences, and do you think that it makes it tough to be fully ready to play football come week one?
Well, we went, I think, 6 weeks, and there were 2 days pretty much all 6 weeks. You know, I unfortunately was in the year where you played six of those ugly exhibition games. But I think, you know, for the players' sake, you know, if you can keep them fresh and extend their careers, that's good. The thing is, are the injuries less, you know, with the less contact that you have, or are there more? And somebody would have to give me those numbers to tell you. But, you know, you've mentioned the running backs. We've got three of them dinged, and we really haven't done any hitting.
Yeah, we haven't done any hitting at all so far. What do you think about Mike Pettine giving his veterans days off this early in camp already? Joe Hayden, Tremont Williams, Dwayne Bowe, Dansby Whitner, Joe Thomas, all getting days off in the early going.
Well, you earn the respect you get, and that's a form of respect for what they've done with this football team. And I think it's good. I mean, I think, you know, training camp is boring. I mean, you know, you do the same plays that you've been doing for the last, for Joe Thomas's case, the last 8 years. And, you know, yeah, you've got to do it, and you've got to do it at a high level. But at some point, you know, you need something to get your mind off of it. And, you know, you get a day off, that helps get your mind off of it.
How valuable, given that you're doing the same thing against the same players, will this joint practice that's coming up against the Buffalo Bills be for this team?
It'll turn up the intensity meter quite a bit. I think, you know, that's one of those things you get used to seeing the same guy, same move, same style, same defense. I think it's good, and I think it's especially good for the young players because, you know, they're going to get probably more reps than some of the older players. But for the young players, you know, this will be to make or break for them, because when you go against somebody else from a different team live, it shows a lot.
It certainly does. Talk with Doug Deacon, the Browns radio analyst from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network. And Doug, when you look at this team, I feel that the talent on the field at this training camp, it's significantly better than it was just 1 year ago. What is your sense of this team and what Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have done with this roster?
Well, I think they've upgraded the talent. I think they've added depth at very valuable places, you know, the offensive and defensive line. And when we got Alex Mack, you know, last year hurt, that really showed up. I think, you know, the thing about it is, you know, this team needs some confidence, and they got to get some wins. They were at 7 wins last year, and I think they were – you know, they had a good feel about themselves. But, you know, you got to get that confidence back because you had that losing streak at the end. And between, you know, confidence and chemistry, and I think that's one of the things that Coach Pettine is, you know, trying to do with these guys by, you know, taking them together on a road trip to down to Columbus, then out to Rochester, New York. You know, when you get to together with the guys, and I think, you know, they're talking about maybe moving training camp, you do get a chemistry there. And I think that's important with the football team.
It is. All right. Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, neither had a very good rookie season, as you would put it. Here they are now into their second training camps. Have you seen improvement from either, both, neither so far?
Well, I think it's, you know, tough on Johnny because you've got a new offense. If you're a veteran quarterback like McCown, you know, you know a lot of the subtleties. But I think for Johnny, it was a little bit of a lost year last year, so he's still on a big, you know, learning curve for him. You know, and as far as Gilbert, you know, some of the other young DBs have shown up pretty good. And I think one of the things you've noticed the difference is the way they've handled these situations. There's no entitlement this year. You know, they if you're not the, earning to be the number one guy, you're not getting in there with the number one team. So I think that's good. I mean, they're treating everybody pretty much the same.
They certainly are. And, Doug, as you get ready for this, the preseason starting in just about 8 days will be the first preseason game. What do you hope to see from this team with the orange and brown scrimmage and then into the preseason that will let you know that they are on the right path?
Well, I think, you know, on the offensive side, converting third downs, we were tough on that. And obviously on the defensive side, stopping the run. I think the back end of our secondary is going to be real strong.
Yes.
Do we have the pass rush to help them out? We got to find out if, you know, Orchard or Monty Bryan or one of those guys is going to be the guy that's going to step up and, you know, help Kruger on the other side. You know, offensively, I think we've got a running game if we have healthy running backs.
Right.
But what we've got to find out is, you know, do we have the complementary passing game and do we have somebody on the offensive side that's going to be a, you know, big-time playmaker?
Doug Deacon, Nathan Zagura here with a live looking for you from Browns training camp on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. You can tweet us your questions using the hashtag BrownsCamp, and we'll get to those as we wrap things up here on our second of three live lookins. We'll have another one coming up for you next Monday here on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Deke, this camp compared to last year is night and day, and not for what's happening on the field, but what's happening around the field. The media hoopla that was here with Manziel Mania, it almost seems like a very calm, docile camp this year. Is that good for this team?
Oh, I think it's good. I think you took two of the rings out of the circus. And obviously, the note this year has been Pryor, and rightfully so, because he's such a talented athlete. But with that said, you know, I think you look at these guys, it's all business out there. They're very organized. They're going about their way. Hadn't been a lot of contact to date, but I think, you know, we're going to see that increase in the next few days.
When they do go live in practice, how much more valuable is that than when they are going and just thudding up? For example, if they do a goal line and they go live today, how much more valuable is that?
Well, it's a lot more valuable because you're getting a better read. You're getting a realistic read. You know, you go into preseason games, they're at one speed. You go into regular season games, their intensity increases. And if you get to the playoffs, it's even greater. So I think, you know, to get a better idea of the intensity of the pro game is when you go live.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, here's another look. One more look here at the Browns training camp live. Day six here in Berea. The defense, you see there in the camouflage jerseys. They earned them on a live play at the goal line. And again, it was Danny Shelton collapsing the pocket, getting his hand on the ball, allowing Tremon Williams to intercept the pass from Josh McCown. I have a feeling today, now they're doing a little goal line, might come down to a live play on the goal line. Want to direct your attention to this, though, folks. Right here, the Papa. Papa John's delivering us a little bit of free pie right here for me and the Deke. We're going to get into this in just a second. But if you come out to Browns camp in Berea today, it's free Papa John's pizza day. So if you need a better reason to hop in your car right now and get to Berea, I can't think of one. You get to see the Browns. You get to have some free pizza from the great Papa John himself. Well, Doug, certainly looking forward to working with you and Jim again this season on the radio broadcast on the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and hopefully we're going to have a fun season with this team that continues to improve behind us. Appreciate everybody joining us here on the live look-in from Berea. You can keep it tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for the latest on your Cleveland Browns. Doug, thanks for being with us here today.
Pleasure to be here.
For Doug Deacon, I'm Nathan Zagura saying enjoy your day, and we bark together in the dog pound.